Welcome to today's podcast from our live stream from Sunday, the 10th of May. Well, good afternoon, everyone. I just want to welcome you to our Sunday live stream here at Greenock Mount Kirk and Greenock East End Parish Church. And I see some folk coming on just now, so a big hello to Sally and Brenda, Alison, Helen, Patricia, Sophie. A warm welcome to you all. Before we get started, I just wanted to remind you of a few things coming up. I'll just move over to my slides. As we've said for the last few weeks during the lockdown, every Sunday evening, families are gathering all over the nation and right across the world to pray together, maybe light a candle in your window. Pray for our nation, pray for our world. As the coronavirus continues to still have a grip on our nation and on many countries across the world, we pray for a reduction in the number of deaths and the number of infections. And we also pray that a vaccination will be found soon and that somehow we will be able to return back to some kind of normality soon. And we pray for businesses as well, and you know, a lot of people going through very, very tough time at the moment, for those that have lost their jobs as well. So we pray about all of those things. Also, as we've had every Sunday since we started our Sunday live streams, we have a virtual coffee time on Zoom. If you have Zoom on your phone or tablet or computer, you'll be able to join us for that after the service. The link for that is in the description to this post. Okay. Now, as we start our service today, I just wanted to thank a number of people who have maybe posted some things on our Facebook page. We'd asked during the week if anybody had anything to be thankful for, to let us know. And we're going to put together a prayer wall. So I'm going to hand over to Sheila. Sheila had recorded this earlier in the week just to explain about our prayer wall. And so we've taken some things that people are thankful for and we've put them on the prayer wall, and hopefully that will build up over the next few weeks.
Hi, it's Sheila. I'm just showing you a wall, a rainbow wall that I've made this week, which I thought would be good for Francis to use in the next 2 to 3 weeks as we're still in lockdown. And it's a rainbow thankful wall. During the week on Facebook, I asked people just to jot down three things that they were thankful for. Go a bit closer. And these are just some of the things. Somebody said, my church. Health, it's so important, isn't it? So thankful that we're healthy. Technology, keeping us in touch with people that we love and friends, family. Jesus, our faith, our homes, someone has said my husband, family, good weather. Yep, we have been blessed with really, really good weather over the last 7 to 8 weeks, and I think that has made such a difference. Sunshine and hope. And my grandson. So if you could just at the moment put in the comments below after Francis finished talking or during the service just now, just type in some more things that you're thankful for, and then we can add them on for next week, and then we'll hopefully build this up in the weeks ahead, and we'll be able to look back at the end of lockdown. Thank you.
Okay, so if there's anything that you're thankful for, please let us know during the week and we can put that up on our rainbow prayer wall. You may be aware that as a church we have collected for Inverclyde Food Bank for some time, and as many churches across Inverclyde have done so as well. And because of the lockdown, the food bank is in difficulty in being able to source food as churches are not meeting together and aren't able to collect food in as we normally would. So Inverclyde Food Bank had put out an appeal recently asking if maybe people could collect from neighbours, maybe in their street, or put a box outside your home. So a big thanks to Josephine. It let us know earlier in the week she's put a box outside her house in Dunlop Street, and that's a great way that you can collect for the food bank. So maybe that's something that some other folk might want to do as well. Maybe let some of your neighbours know that that's what you're doing, and then they just have to pop something in the box. You don't have to be in contact with anybody or breach any social distancing rules to do this. It's maybe just letting some of your neighbours know that maybe you're collecting for the food bank, and that would be a really great thing to do. So a big thanks to Josephine for letting us know about that earlier this week. So we're going to begin our worship with our first hymn, and this is Be Thou My Vision.
Save that thou art, thou my best.
I hope you enjoyed singing that hymn. Wherever you're watching today, at home, maybe on your phone or tablet or computer. And these times are unusual, and this is not typical church for this, for any of us, but we're all worshipping together in our own places, our own homes. And again, a warm welcome to those watching, I know, from around other places around the world today as well. Now, an event took place earlier this week, and that was the 75th anniversary of VE Day, which marked the end of the Second World War, at least in Europe, earlier this week, 75 years to the day. And under normal circumstances, we would probably be marking this anniversary in some special way in the church this Sunday today, but we can't do that today. And perhaps we would have marked this in different ways across our nation. And at the time, at the end of the Second World War in Europe, people had street parties. There's a photograph there of a typical street party when everyone would come out of their homes and there'd be big long tables lined across the streets and all the children out gathering together as well. And it must have been an amazing time and a relief for many, many people. And you know, VE stands for Victory in Europe, and it was a victory in the sense of an end to war, an end to the evil as well that had raged across Europe, an end to the many deaths and lost lives in that terrible war. It was also a victory for peace, a victory for people who worked for peace across all the nations of the world. And so our 75th anniversary, perhaps we have mixed thoughts about this anniversary. It's certainly not a celebration of war, but certainly a celebration of peace and the defence of freedom for us all. And so as part of our prayer today, we also reflect on this important anniversary and thinking of the restrictions that we also face today, but very different, but still difficult for many people at the moment. So wherever you are in your home, we just gather together and we pray together now. Heavenly Father, as we gather in worship across our homes and across nations, we are reminded that you are Almighty God, the maker of all things, the heavens and the earth. For you created us in your image, that life is precious and valuable to you, and that all war is regrettable. The loss of all human life is something which saddens you as our Creator. And so we mark this anniversary today, perhaps with mixed feelings, thinking of perhaps members of our own family who lived through that period, for those who served in the armed forces, perhaps even those that we know of who lost their lives. And we continue to pray for peace in our world where there is conflict today. And as we think of our current situation with the coronavirus around our world, you know, we think of how many nations are affected. Every single nation on earth is affected by this virus today, just as every single nation on earth was affected by the Second World War. So we continue to pray for a cure, for a vaccine, that our governments would be given great wisdom in how to handle this situation, and how we may be able to return to normal life again. And also, as Christians, being able to meet together again, to worship together, to gather with family and friends and celebrate when things return to normal. So Lord, we ask your blessing upon us. We ask your blessing upon our worship today. And as we say together the prayer that Jesus taught his first disciples, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, our topic that we've been looking at over the past couple of weeks is about people whose lives were changed with encounters with Jesus. So our first reading today comes from the Old Testament, but it's really about how God is going to change the nation of Israel and change their heart. So I managed to do this reading this week outside, so it's a little bit of a change to how we've been doing the live streams up until now. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to read from Jeremiah chapter 31. Well, I'm outside today for our Bible readings, and this first reading comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, if you're following in your Bible at home, and it starts at verse 31. Jeremiah says, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant. Though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbour, or a man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. Because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." Okay, we're going to sing again, and this is a new song. It's not one we've ever done in the church before or with the praise group, but it's one I've been learning for a wee while now. It's called Jesus Strong and Kind, and this comes from the Anglican Church in Australia. It's a really lovely tune and lovely words as well. It's originally written for children, so it's a children's hymn, but I think it's something that I think everyone will enjoy. So this is something that myself and Eden recorded earlier this week, so please feel free to sing along. It's a very simple tune, and I'm sure you'll pick it up quite easily. It's called Jesus Strong and Kind.
Jesus said that if I thirst, I should come to him. No one else can satisfy, I should come to him. Jesus said, if I am weak, I should come to him. No strength, I should come to him. For the Lord is good and faithful, he will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind. Thank you. said, if I am lost, he will come to me. And he showed me on that cross, he will come to me. For the Lord is good and faithful, he will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind. For the Lord is good and faithful, he will keep us day and night. We can
okay, we're going to hear our second reading, and I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of John. And last week we heard the story of Mary Magdalene, someone whose life was transformed by her encounter with Jesus. Her life was never the same again. And this week we're going to hear from somebody very different, Nicodemus, a religious teacher in Israel. And I'm going to be reading this one outside as well. So we're continuing in our series looking at people whose lives were transformed after an encounter with Jesus. And today we're looking at the story of Nicodemus, who was a religious leader, a Pharisee in Israel. And we're going to hear a discussion that takes place between him and Jesus. And because he was a religious leader, he came to Jesus in the darkness of night. It's probably going to be dark here quite soon as well. And so we hear this discussion between him and Jesus, and the way that Jesus tries to help Nicodemus to see the truth of the gospel. So this is from John chapter 3 and verse 1, if you have your Bibles handy. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, you know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked, surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Amen.
If you've been following our services for the past few weeks, you may have seen our caterpillars, and we are growing these caterpillars, and we ordered them online, and look at them now. They have got pretty big, and they were wriggling around a little minute ago. Now this probably be the last time I can really handle them, because they're going to go into a chrysalis this week, and once they start to do that, I'm not allowed to touch them. And then we're going to see what they transform and change into, these amazing butterflies, over the next few weeks. And the story of the caterpillars has also been perhaps helped us think about these people who encountered Jesus in the Bible as well. Because like the caterpillars, they were being transformed, they were being changed into something else, into different types of people,
As we saw, Mary Magdalene last week was never the same person after meeting Jesus. Her life changed completely. She was someone tormented in so many ways by evil spirits. Jesus set her free, and she became a close follower of Jesus. She was there at his crucifixion. She was there at his resurrection. She was the first to see him risen from the dead. She was there with the apostles on the day of Pentecost. And, you know, Mary's life was completely transformed. So today we're thinking about somebody very different, a man called Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a Pharisee. And the Pharisees were a particular group of religious teachers in Israel. They had a particularly strict view of God's law. They also had additional laws which they kept and they expected other people to keep as well. And Jesus in the Gospels has a few run-ins with the Pharisees. He is not their biggest fan. In fact, Jesus reserves his strongest language in his criticism of the Pharisees and also the teachers of the law and other religious groups in Israel. He calls them whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. He calls them a brood of vipers. Jesus doesn't hold back in his criticism of the Pharisees because he believes that they follow an external form of religion while neglecting what is actually going on in the inside. And that was Jesus' biggest concern in his dealing with the Pharisees. But here we have one called Nicodemus, who perhaps is different from some of the others. He comes to Jesus at night. He's interested in hearing what Jesus has to say, genuinely. Sometimes when we see the Pharisees interacting with Jesus, they throw him questions that are deliberately meant to trip Jesus up or to incriminate Jesus in some way by bringing some charge against him, depending on how he answered the question. And so this Pharisee comes to Jesus at night. In verse 2 in John 3 that we just read a few minutes ago, Nicodemus says to Jesus, he addresses him as Rabbi, teacher. We know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miracles you are doing if it were not that you are doing if God were not with him. So Nicodemus shows respect for Jesus. He addresses him as a rabbi. He recognizes that he's someone who has come from God. He recognizes that the miracles that he performs are genuine. Some of the Pharisees accused Jesus of performing miracles by the power of the devil. So Nicodemus is not one of them. So he certainly has respect. He has recognition of Jesus. But in reply, Jesus turns the conversation over to something entirely different. He talks about the kingdom of God, which is the message that Jesus has been preaching from the beginning. And the kingdom of God is wherever God is ruling and reigning, both here on earth and in heaven. In Jesus' preaching, and whenever you see miracles being performed, when people are healed, when people's lives are transformed, there is the kingdom of God. And in the ministry of Jesus, the kingdom of God is being revealed in our world and in people's lives. And so Jesus replies to Nicodemus. He says, you know, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. And Nicodemus is puzzled by Jesus' answer. He takes it very literally. He says, how can a man be born when he's old? And surely he can't enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Of course, Jesus was speaking of a spiritual truth. To be born again is something that happens to a person spiritually. Now, if you've heard this term before, being born again, you maybe have to set aside some associations with that word, maybe with TV evangelists. Maybe you've heard it in that context before, that you must be born again, or the notion that it's simply giving your life to Jesus. So being born again is just saying, yes, I want to be a follower of Jesus. Or maybe you have an idea being born again is turning over a new leaf or making a fresh start. Now, to understand what Jesus is really saying, we probably have to set all of those things aside, because being born again is not something we do ourselves, just as it's not the will of a baby to be born. A baby doesn't get to decide when it's born, and so it's not by a person's will that they are born again, but it's something that God causes to happen. And Jesus explains this further in verse 5. He says, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. And what Jesus is telling us is that obviously every person alive has been born physically. Otherwise we wouldn't be here. So we've all been born physically. We're all flesh and blood. But we also need to be born spiritually. The Apostle Peter describes it in this way and connects being born again with salvation and with eternal life. He says in 1 Peter 1:3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, and is kept in heaven for you. And then in verse 23, Peter says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. So what Jesus is talking about here, it's not something which comes and goes. It's not something that's dependent upon us. It's something which God does for us. It says, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. This is something that can't be destroyed. This is something is not going to die or perish. Of course, Nicodemus is perplexed by all of this. Nicodemus was a clever man. Obviously, he had a great deal of theological teaching, Bible teaching in his background. But maybe some of that got in the way. And later on, if you read on what Jesus says in John 3, Jesus is frustrated that Nicodemus is not understanding what he's saying. But what Jesus is saying is good news. You know, if being born again isn't something that we do, but it's something that God does, then that status doesn't change. You know, if it was dependent on us turning over a new leaf, well, what happens when we fail? What happens when we can't sustain that? What happens when our sinful human nature leads us to fall? What hope is there for the sinner if our eternal security is dependent on us and what we do? And I find it a very comforting thing and reassuring thing to know that my status as a child of God, my status as someone who has been born again of God's Spirit is not dependent on me and my will, but it's dependent upon the will and power of Almighty God. And the Bible tells us that we have an inheritance that can't spoil, it can't perish or fade, and it is kept in heaven for us. There's nothing on this earth can take that away. It is kept in heaven for us. And when we get there one day, we will enjoy all the full benefits of what that means. The Apostle Paul talks about this in a different way. He compares it to being dead and then being made alive again. So death and resurrection. And the Apostle Paul compares baptism as being a symbol of that, that when we're baptized in water, we go into the water as people who are spiritually dead, but when we come out of the water, we are spiritually made alive again. And so that describes the experience of being born again. But we're left with the question, well, surely we have to do something. I'm sure that's what Nicodemus was asking himself. Surely we have to do something. And if you read on, Jesus goes on to tell him what he must do. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." So what are we called to do? To believe. To believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is our Saviour, that he is our Lord. But what about Nicodemus? What happened to him? Did his life change after all of this? Was his life transformed beyond all recognition? Well, if you still have a Bible handy, I'm going to read just quickly from a few verses in the Gospel of John, chapter 19. We only hear of Nicodemus in one other place, and it's at the end of John's Gospel, after Jesus has been crucified. And this is John 19 and verse 38. John tells us that later Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jews. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. And Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices and strips of linen. And this was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Now, what this story tells us, I think, is that Nicodemus's life was changed, it was transformed. That here he had gone from someone who went to see Jesus at night, and now in front of the Roman guards, been seen in public taking Jesus' body away for burial with Joseph of Arimathea, another member of the Pharisees. And so I think his life did change. And we're told that Nicodemus brought myrrh and aloes and spices and herbs to prepare Jesus' body for burial. We're told there was 75 pounds of spices. Now, that's quite heavy. That is a lot of spices to prepare a body. And that must have cost quite a bit of money. So Nicodemus has come out of secrecy out of hiding. He's made his faith in Jesus and trust in Jesus public. He's shown respect for his body. He has bought spices to prepare Jesus' body out of his own pocket. He has identified himself with Joseph as a fellow disciple of Jesus. So I have absolutely no doubt that Nicodemus's life was changed and transformed. He's not mentioned again, but later in the book of Acts, we're told that after the resurrection, that many Pharisees and many teachers of the law became disciples of Jesus. Which tells me that something amazing must have happened. These people, by and large, were Jesus's enemies. They were his biggest skeptics. And that many of them became followers of Jesus after the resurrection tells us that something amazing really took place. That all these people's lives were transformed. What about us? What about you? The Bible is clear, we all need to be born again. You need to be born again to be able to see God's kingdom, to see what God is doing in this world, to see what God is doing in your life and around your life. And you need to be born again in order to become spiritually alive and aware to know Jesus and to know and understand who he really is. It's faith in Jesus that is the proof that we are born again, not the other way around. But we all need to be born again. And I know it's difficult for us to understand how this happens and what order it happens in, but that is really not important. The important thing is that we believe, that we trust in Jesus. And to know that when that faith springs within us, and when we are following Jesus, when we are obeying Jesus' teaching, and our life is changing, that we have that reassurance that we are born again, that we belong to God, and that what God has for us is something that cannot be taken away. What God has done in us and with us is something that cannot be destroyed by anything in this world. And that what God is doing in you is not dependent upon your will. So when you fail some days, when you feel you've let God down, maybe when you feel you've let others down, that does not necessarily mean that God has washed his hands of you, that God has abandoned you. But if we continue to believe and trust in Jesus, we have that reassurance that we belong to him, that we are born again, that we have that new life within us. And like Nicodemus, our life will be transformed and changed beyond all recognition. Jesus can do it for him. He can do it for all of us. And Nicodemus is a religious man, needed to be born again just as much as anyone else in Israel, even the worst sinner. And so all of us, whether religious or not, we all need to be born spiritually, to see Jesus with spiritual eyes and to really know and understand who he is. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us today. Reminder that we all need to be born again of your spirit. And Lord, this is not something that we do ourselves, but it's something that you do. A great miracle that happens in the lives of people who put their faith and trust in Jesus.
And Lord, may this truth give us reassurance today that if we are continuing to believe, that if we are continuing to trust, that if we are continuing to follow Jesus, then that is a sign that the new birth has taken place in our lives. If we have a desire to obey Jesus, then let us be reassured that you will never let go of us, that you will never abandon us, and that our inheritance in heaven is secure, that nothing in this world can take that away. So Lord, strengthen our faith today. And like Nicodemus, may we make our faith public and not be afraid. May we give all that we have in Jesus' service and in our devotion to him, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I just want to thank everyone for joining us for our online service today. And if you are able to stay behind, it'd be lovely to join with you on Zoom for the coffee time. It was just going to take me 5 minutes to set that up. I was aware halfway through my message today that my camera had started glitching. I'm not sure why. I don't know if that has maybe come over on the live stream. I suspect it has. But I do apologise about that, and hopefully we'll get that fixed for next time. So I'm just going to close our service, as I say, the benediction now, and let you get on your way and enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all now and always. Amen.